Welcome to Life Lab with David Ponder and Zach Schaefer. We are the podcast of Experience Experiments.
We give you those experiments via change challenges at the end of each episode.
We created this podcast because we wanted to talk about important topics that can help us all live meaningful lives.
You might agree with what we have to say, or you might disagree. But the point there is that you get something new to think about.
There's no edits and no gimmicks. Our entire point is to help you take action and live a better life.
You only get one life to live, so you may as well make the most of it. Good morning. Today we're going to talk about a topic that is on everyone's mind, I think. There's a lot going on in our nation with the cerveza sickness, as some people call it. And there's a question that is on everyone's mind, and that is, how far should organizations go in their ability to influence behavior? And the question really centers around a topic that we're going to talk about today. So I think it's very relevant, because today we're going to discuss authority.
Yeah, and people in authority really like this term and concept, because it's very empowering. Because if you are an authority, you feel, first of all, go to the emotions and feelings, you feel empowered because you can make decisions and make rules, and hopefully rightfully so. Maybe because you're a subject matter expert, or in politics, maybe you were elected to an office where that's granted to you. I'm pretty anti-authority and have a natural contempt for it. Just that's who I am. But I love Einstein's quote about it, which I have hanging up here in my office. To punish me for my contempt for authority, fate has made me an authority myself.
Oh, I like that.
And I'm not saying that about me per se, but I think there's something to that. And people who get authority, especially if it's authority over others on a large scale, like in political office, you better tread lightly.
So I'll echo a bunch of your sentiments there. I don't know why, but I don't know if it's just because I grew up with you or what the deal is, but it's not necessarily that I have a contempt for authority. I think that it's that the idea of authority, while I recognize its benefits in so many situations, runs counter to a lot of the values that I hold true, including individual freedom and autonomy and decentralization and just the idea of treating people as individuals.
Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, I was going to get to definitions.
I want to hit off of what you said. I agree. I don't think that you... Our expression, our style of our disdain for authority in general, we expressed it differently as kids. But you had similar strands and threads that I did. Whereas as kids, I would just literally give the middle finger to the authority. You would be the behind-the-scenes saboteur and planner and design thinker about how we could do things more systematically and subtly. Whereas I was a little more blunt and probably unintelligent with my approach, but that was what my child ego needed at the time. And I carried that with me into early 30s, I'll say.
You know, let's pick up on that. Actually, you know what? We'll get to definitions later. I agree. You know what? It's when you watch a majority of like really good movies, I feel like we've got a split in our popular thinking today, right? So the authority has done a good job with the media and everything to get everyone on board and being like, you should conform. You should blah, blah, blah. It's for safety, for safety, right? It's for everyone's benefit. You should do what they're asking to just make everyone safe, because that's the way it has to be. And so that's like this thread, this mindset that I'm seeing take hold everywhere. On the flip side, if you look at any good story that our society has embraced, they all have this anti-authority underpinning to them. I mean, you've got classic examples like V for Vendetta, mm-hmm. You know, but even religions, you know, are all about rebellion. You know, they're all about especially Christianity is about a figure who defied authority and brought his own way of thinking and was killed for it.
The
you know?
Ultimate act of originality or creativity, the first step in that has to be disobedience to the norm, to the authority. That and I didn't necessarily say that. That comes from both Viktor Frankl, who you're a fan of, and another philosopher named Erich Fromm. But you can't. The first act of freedom, of creativity, of originality, of expression, doing something unique and different, it is disobedience. There's no other way around that.
It's at least nonconformity.
Sure.
So I want to call out this something that I saw was good. Let's get into definitions and let me call this out and just to kind of set a foundation. And then let's keep going. So what Oxford says is Oxford says that authority is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. Mm-hmm. Fairly standard. Merriam-Webster put it a different way, and I liked this way better. Merriam-Webster says that it's the power to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior. And I think that's more powerful.
Well, that's more what we'd call influencer status today.
Which, let's put a pin in that. Is there a difference? Like, if you can influence people, that's control. Well,
matters is what people think. If they look to whatever you're saying, whether you have letters behind your name or a certain number of followers on Twitter, it's all about can I get others to believe what I'm saying? Do I have credibility? Do I have competence and credibility and character? And if people believe that, then I'm an authority or an influencer. It doesn't matter the label.
Right. And I think there's those two definitions call out an important difference between an authority that has to enforce obedience. You know, they pass a law and now you've got law enforcement that will enforce obedience via punishment if you don't obey. Or sanctions or whatever, economic sanctions, whatever you want to, versus someone who just has the power to influence or command thought and get you to agree and obey without needing the enforcement mechanism. That's
the self-discipline. That's the panopticon. That's the they're always watching and listening. I better police myself just in case.
Or it's for safety. It's for other people's safety. Course. I'm doing this for the good of everyone. Like, you know, like I have to fall in. I don't, you know, if I don't, then I could be jeopardizing the good of the whole.
We see that in what's going on with the approach to the pandemic.
Right, right. The other thing I wanted to call out was the difference between obedience and conformity. And the way that this put it, and I'd love to hear if you disagree. It says obedience involves an order. Conformity involves a request. Obedience is obeying someone with a higher status. Conformity is going along with people of equal status.
Yeah, I mean, to me, again, we haven't had this discussion in a while. To me, that's splitting hairs in an academic argument. Sure, yeah, I don't disagree with what that's saying. To the average person on the street, I don't know if that's as important or meaningful to differentiate between. To me, if I think people are more willing to conform or obey to somebody that they perceive has higher status, especially if that status. Well, I'm going to back up my thought. It used to be somebody would conform or obey to someone with perceived higher status if that person had also subject matter expertise in an area. Now we're seeing almost a backlash for anyone that does have subject matter expertise. People are almost instantly questioning their motives, their intentions, their connections to certain industries, the agenda that they're putting forward, and right or wrong that's occurring. And I can't make a sweeping generalization if that's good that people are pushing back just in general because somebody has that or not. The anti-authoritarian in me likes it, but then I can also see, you know, you're dismissing a whole lot of good research and knowledge accumulation as well. So there's no broad strokes with that, in my opinion.
Well, I'll extend on that. And you let me know if I understand what you're saying. It seems to me that there is a trend where, let's say, someone who clearly has a higher status when it comes to monetary function and he's a leader of several large organizations, we'll call out Elon Musk, folks recognize that he has higher status than them in those areas. However, not everyone agrees with him or would obey or follow anything that he, you know, wanted them to do. But he's sort of a celebrity in that stance, and some people really respect him and some don't. It seems to me like we're moving towards something where people would encourage him to run for president And then if he became president,
which he'll never do,
he could then enact,
right,
you know, his authority, and that would be respected. You know, we obviously, we just had that with another celebrity,
right,
named Trump. And it seems to me like our society is moving that way. So in that, they would be pushing back against his subject matter expertise. He might know the most about, you know, rocket science, yep, on electric the planet.
Technology.
Yeah, electric cars. Yeah. He's very, obviously very intelligent when it comes. So he may be the – and leading organizations. He's leads several successful organizations, large, large organizations. So obviously very smart, subject matter expert to a T, right? But people would – I feel like we're in a time, and this is really interesting, I don't understand why, where if he held some sort of official title, then people would be, all right, fine, now I'm a patriot or whatever. And I'll...
Yeah, I don't know. I like your line of thinking. I would clearly, his followers, of which he has many, you know, he's one of the largest Twitter accounts out there, and gets the most engagement, I think, of all Twitter accounts, perhaps. Most of those folks would fall in line, and whatever policies and agenda he gets. Because when you become president, you have an agenda. And then everyone who works for you, your handlers and gatekeepers, their only mission is to try to help you succeed on the policies that you want to see enacted. That's it. Gleason told me that years ago. He's like, all that matters, you figure out what your vision is as the president, what agenda you're trying to accomplish, and policies you'd like to see enacted. And then everyone else's only mission is to try to make that happen for you. And so I would assume most of his people, as you're saying, would probably get in line behind whatever policies he'd like to see enacted. I think that's too easy of an example, though, because we both like Elon Musk. Let's pick someone we don't like, but who does have deep subject matter expertise that has to be accounted for and isn't just some evil person. Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve Bank, technically the 51st state. Dave and I are both in a camp that doesn't like central banking in general and believes that we would exist more in a fulfilled way without central banking. But this person has very deep subject matter expertise around economics, national, global, international economics, banking, all of that. But it's so easy, because of how I feel and my belief and my emotions behind that, to discount and discredit anything he says or does because he's the authority in that spot. And so my point is, it goes back to what we've said before. I think we form our beliefs, which are really tied to our emotions, first, and then we use that to help, yeah, I can get behind this authority, or no matter what this authority says, it's bullshit, and we find the one crack in the armor, so to speak. I don't know. Like, I can't discredit what that guy's done with his career. Like, he's
no,
a very intelligent person, as are the other heads of the Federal Reserve. But I don't – just because I don't like the system they work within, does that give me the right to then discredit every single thing they say? That's why I don't like politics as a business. Once you choose your side, it's farce. It's a total joke and act. No matter what your opponent says, it's always going to be wrong. That's not effective.
As you were going through that, and I thought about my statement, right? Like, we want people to run for some sort of position of authority, and then we'll follow them. And you made an excellent point, which was like, well, the people who follow Elon Musk want that. The ones who are against him obviously don't want that. I actually think what I was hitting on, if I have to think about it, is – it's our desire for an authority figure, and we all want our authority figures to be representative of our beliefs, yeah, of
what
us.
What we like, what makes us feel good.
And I suspect that's always been the case, but it just seems like in the information age now, we've got certain representatives of ideals that we feel are the pinnacle of that ideal, and we want them to represent us and our thoughts and our whatever. You know, it's like – there are a bunch of things that you and I agree on, and you're very methodical in the way that you develop your opinions. And so if someone asks you about it, you will cite sources and the things that you – anyway, and you can be very persuasive in that way. And so there have been many times where I've been –
well, so can you.
Well, yeah. Mine is more – anyway, bottom line is, regardless, take this as a compliment. Whenever I've been in that situation where I'm explaining my position on something, a lot of times I'll be like, ah, where's Zach? I wish Zach was around here to back me up.
Well, we're good sounding boards for each other, and we'll poke holes in each other's arguments.
And I feel like people have that, but on a grand scale, on a couple of ways. Number one, people want like a parental figure. I mean, there's just something that's comforting about that. And I think I've talked about that comedian who told a joke about how he's like 25 and he's in the grocery store and he like realized there's no adults. Like this whole time, we have our whole life, we're growing up, we've been told there are adults that have everything taken care of, you know? And then at some point we realize, oh shit, there's no adults. Like, this is it. This is, I am supposed to be that. And I know I don't have my stuff together. So, oh my God, nobody does. So I think there's a desire for someone to take care of us, to take care of everything, to, you know, there's that need inside of us to have that figure. And then two, there's the desire for backup for our beliefs and opinions, right? And like, if I can't do it, right? Because all I am is lowly Dave here and all I do is X, Y, and Z. But there's someone out there who feels the same as me and they are of a higher status. They are achieved and they could carry this torch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that.
So
one thing we haven't mentioned, well, here's something ironic. We're talking about authority, and because we follow sort of our normal process that we've organically created over time, what did we rely on to kick off authority? The dictionary, which is the authority on definition. So my point with that kind of irony is authority is so pervasive, we don't even see it oftentimes.
Yeah.
We know it. It's just taken for granted, even for an anti-authoritarian sort of leaning person such as myself. You can't just be anti-authoritarian for everything, because if so, then you have no social connections. No one wants to be around with you. You're just an unpleasant human being.
Well, and I think that's something that I wanted to call out too, is like, we didn't discuss the positives of authority.
Well, we will. I'm saving that.
Needs.
I'm saving that for the end because I think that's more potent.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I've got the book, literally the Bible, if you will, on authority and obedience is Stanley Milgram's masterpiece called Obedience to Authority, where he did the shock treatment experiments where people were dressed up in a scientist's white smock. And basically just said, we need you to continue the experiment. Please administer the shock. And then there was a Confederate person in the next room yelling, acting like they were being shocked as they got answers incorrect. And all the scientists said, you need to continue the experiment. And the vast majority of people would have killed the other person in the room. These are normal folks. The methodology is very clearly described. Thousands of people have gone through the experiment. The point is, we defer to authority. Context is key. When we have someone that we perceive as a higher in social status, specifically around intellectual or cognitive areas, we get in a differential mode to them. And so it's perfect with what's going on with the coronavirus. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff about like spatial proximity. Like when you're around that person, they have even more authority because people want to be liked. They have fear of judgment. They feel like they need to perform and be a good participant in whatever's going on. I don't know. If you want to learn about authority and how you're deferential without even thinking you are, or just think about the consequences when taken to the extreme, read Stanley Milgram's book, Obedience to Authority, because it's scary. It explains exactly what occurred in Nazi Germany. Whenever people hear that, I believe they do themselves a disservice, because the horrors, from my opinion, as a structure of what the Nazis created, wasn't Hitler and the SS. It was what all the natural, normal German citizens did to get behind it and obeyed to all of this, because they bought into that system and what it was giving them. And people don't want to think about that because that's could be us in that system or anyone.
And speaking of those systems, so that's the most famous and egregious example for now, right?
That's why he did those experiments.
Right. But that has happened over and over throughout history,
right?
Where authority gets participation of the average person in horrific things. And so you can talk about different communist nations where that has happened, and
lots of African countries for sure. Of
But this still, so we I think we tend to think about nation states. Another place that this happens all the time, even today, is in corporations. So any large hierarchical structure, these types of things can happen. You know, the perfect example of the corporations is the car company that decided that it was going to cost $1.57 times, you know, however many 100,000 cars to do a recall to fix a faulty safety part. And that was just too much money when you compare it to the fact that they could just cover the lawsuits for 50% of the cost of doing the actual recall. And so the loss of life was acceptable in that situation, right? And but, that actually happens.
But now you're getting to what I believe is the authority figure's greatest tool. Bureaucracy, paperwork, procedure. Standardize it, normalize it, put it in a form, triplicate form. Like, do whatever it takes to take horrible things and brush it over with a layer of bureaucracy. And that is exactly what the Nazis did. So then if shit hits the fan and your regime falls and you lose your authority, then your argument becomes, I was just doing my job.
Yeah. And they use language to dampen it and stuff. And I just think when you start talking about Nazi Germany, people are desensitized to that. So if you say, hey, look, you know, Ford did this recently. They looked at the fact that they were going to have to replace a part in their cars. And as tens, hundreds of people all agreed and went along with this decision that, yeah, you're right. That will cost us more money if we have to do that recall and everything. And, you know, only X amount of people are going to die, you know, and we don't know. None of that was actually all the language that was used, I'm sure, was to minimize the idea that actual people are dying because of this decision, right? No, and so I can't imagine what those memos and everything looked like, right? They used some banal terms that were, you know, trying to disguise the fact that this decision will result in people's death.
But they weren't trying to disguise it. That's my point. People are so deep within that layer. They've internalized bureaucracy to such a degree. I don't view the folks creating that were doing anything devious or mischievous or trying to be evil. I think they were literally just being homo economicus. Let's do a cost-benefit analysis. Let's get the actuaries in the room. Let's run the numbers. We're beholden to our shareholders. We have to increase. That is what I think, because that is what occurs on the egregious side. People internalize a system of values. This is the system that I'm participating in. So that's what I think.
Well, and I also think there's like a division of responsibility. So the authority is spread out amongst individuals.
That's one of the tools of bureaucracy is division of labor, compartmentalization of information and knowledge. Only have very few people know how the system works as a whole. That's how the entire – that's rule number one in the intelligence communities.
So it's like if – let's say there is a death that is the result of a decision. If there's something about the human psyche where it's like if I make the decision and I'm 100% responsible for that death, I can't do that. My guilt would be too high. I'm just not that type of person, you know, yada, yada, my morals, all of that, right? But if I'm part of an organization that has 10,000 people and I only have 1/10,000th of the responsibility for that decision – well, hey, those other 9,999 people.
It's the diffusion of responsibility.
They made that decision. I did. Look, what did I have? 1/10,000th of the responsibility there? I couldn't have stopped it if I wanted to. So I just went along
with
it.
But that's where the difference between an authority and a leader is. A leader is someone like Truman. The buck stops here. That was on his desk. You know, how many presidents since then are take that approach? None. How many leaders of corporations take that approach? None. You know, that's a choice that these folks are making. And I think that's great, but we need more people like that to step up and authority figures to step up and accept full responsibility when things go bad in very large organizations where clearly they cannot have knowledge of everything going on. It doesn't matter. You're the person in charge of that organization. Your name needs to be on the line. And when he talked about, well, who's at fault? That's the problem. There is no name tied to that.
Right. There's no neck to ring.
Bureaucracy. Exactly.
Yeah.
It just keeps getting passed around.
Well, it reminds me of something that I always talk to the, I talk to the kids about it because Dylan's been in Spider-Man and it's one of the prevailing themes of the Spider-Man story. With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
Right. And so I talk to the kids about that all the time. And I guess what I'm saying is in those bureaucracies, there are only a small amount of individuals that have the great power and therefore should have the great responsibility. It's just that the bureaucracy does a good job of abdicating that responsibility and spreading it amongst their peers and even their underlings. And then you've got the people who are at the bottom of that authority structure, that pyramid, who then they're just like, what? I'm just like a cog in this system. I can't change this anyway. It all kind of comes back, though, to Howard Zinn's you can't be neutral on a moving train, right? Those people at the bottom would be like, look, I'm just being neutral. I'm not making this happen. But yeah, you are.
Neutrality is a choice.
Yeah.
There's just so much to unpack on this one because I think a lot about this. Just not like – here's something. I admire the scientists that win the prizes who skip the award ceremonies because they're like, why do I need this award? Like, and they go to the lab. And there's a lot of examples of people that do that. Are they an authority figure? Well, clearly they are, at least among their peers and in their discipline of knowledge because they're being recognized. But they're bringing in sort of that Einsteinian bent of, I need to just get the work going and do the work. To me, that's something I admire. When an authority figure takes on some amount of humility, which I think also lacks in our society, especially among our elected leaders of both sides of the venue. Here's something I've been thinking about lately. A senator comes down Watson Road right here. How do people act for that senator? Very deferential. Oh, the senator's here. I don't think you should be throwing tomatoes at the person, but I think you should treat that person as a peer, because that's all they are, is an elected peer, and say, hey, you know, well, remember, they work for us to represent our ideas. But our system at this point in America is to the point we're scared and showing fear of these people who are supposed to be enacting and judging and interpreting and writing laws on behalf of the people. That's fucked. That's not good.
No.
And they want that.
I could just tell you my instant reaction, which is somewhat jaded, but I believe true, is I can tell that senator whatever the hell I want to try to influence his opinion. I could have the best, most sound, logical argument, and I could have a perfect example. I could have a sick child saying, look, this child is sick because of these policies that you are enabling. And so long as Monsanto up the road kept paying for his next campaign reelection, he would vote against it.
Yeah, it's just all, are you part of the agenda that helps keep him or her in power?
Exactly.
Again, it's authority.
Exactly.
But then there's a deeper layer of authority, going back to our example about organizations. Legal structures. Legal structures are a huge form of authority. We literally set our businesses up, me and you, in a way to protect all of our personal property. So that if something goes bad and we do make a mistake on accident with a client, well, then they can't sue me. They can sue what's in the business. Like, but we're like, well, that's a good form of authority.
Yes.
See, it's bullshit.
Yes.
It's hypocritical.
It is totally hypocritical. You know what it is as you get into business, you participate in, I would say that is an amoral structure, right? The fact that I don't have skin in the game, or at least I don't have all of my skin in the game, and therefore I am allowed to at least be negligent, right? At the very least, I can be negligent and I understand that my losses are limited because of the way that the legal system has structured it. Versus I could be, you know, outright incompetent or even worse, like purposely, you know, malicious. And in those instances, my losses are limited and I play along in that system. It's almost like, well, I don't like the rules of that game because I see the negatives for society, but I mean, that's the court that we're playing on. And I want to play that game. So I'm going to take the benefits of that game as well as the losses, you know, and there are losses too, you know.
No, that's well said. Yeah. I like the way you broke that down. Do you want to start transitioning to the positive side of authority?
I think we need to. I think we need to
draw a line.
Here's where I wanted to
cross the chasm.
Well, I wanted to be like, well, then why is there authority, right? Like, if we're just talking about how bad authority is, we grew up, went to Catholic school, and you hear about, the authoritarian way that Catholic schools are run, and, we've experienced a little of that firsthand, and maybe that went a little bit into our formative thought about the way that authority operates, and we have a lot of reason, I believe, and a lot of backing around why we can feel negatively about authority. That doesn't mean that the world would work without authority.
No, absolutely not. And we don't like arbitrary authority.
Right.
If someone's an authority, for me personally, as a 39-year-old now, but they can back up and truly support what they're saying, and I at least am, lucky enough to be able to dig into evidence or data that's provided me and form my own opinion about it, then okay, yeah, I can get behind what some authority figure is saying, even if I don't like them, like a Jerome Powell or maybe some of these folks from CDC or whatnot. But I'll at least dig in on my own and come to my own opinion if they can give me something to dig into. If they can't and they're just relying on their position in an organization, fuck you. Bold letters, 10 exclamation points behind it. That don't fly with me.
A big red target on them whenever that happens, right?
And what they're looking for is obedience. And here's the question you need to ask yourself. Where am I lending myself to the march of authority without question? Where am I being an instrument to the authority figures that are giving me orders or requests to conform? And that's something that we all need to think about, because it occurs on all workplaces. It occurs in most homes, and we're going to, I think, transition to that. It occurs in all religions, probably most organized hobbies. Like, wherever humans have to organize themselves and create a single rule, authority has emerged.
And it has to. So,
right.
So here, let me do this. Before we get into all those positives, what I would say is the perfect example or the perfect parable about what you were talking about is someone who is using their position to qualify their correctness, so to speak, or to say, this is why you should listen to me, because of my position. I am right because of my authority.
Or they don't even have to. People just instantly defer, right, like in large corporations, right, and in politics.
I believe the perfect parable about why that is insanity is the emperor has no clothes. Mm-hmm. So if you're unfamiliar with that parable, just go Google the emperor has no clothes, read that story. That is the perfect example of what we're talking about here. Okay, so with that being said, society wouldn't work without authority.
No, society as we currently conceive of it. Let's
right.
say that, because that's
right.
important.
Well, I would just even say large organizational structures would not work without authority.
As they're currently formed. That's my point. Yeah. We could have something totally different based on different norms.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Based on what we currently have, no. Yeah. We have to have authority.
Yeah, and so that, we can get to this later. Like, technology and new ways of doing things are allowing for the circumvention or allowing big groups of people, big organizations to overcome some of the problems. But historically, this has just been the way that it's been done because it's the easiest way to do
it. I know we're trying to transition to positive, right, but we haven't mentioned this. And to me, what you just said could also be a negative. I said, what's authority's greatest tool? Bureaucracy, paperwork, procedure. Shame on me. An authority's greatest tool today is the algorithm. That is the greatest tool, because what the algorithm and what AI, machine learning, data mining, there's another huge field I'm missing, because what those tools say, that's just, this is what it said. This is what the algorithm is telling us. That's how Facebook is run, all by metrics. So my point is, once we give the power, and those are just advanced rules and processing systems, but once we totally detach it from human subjectivity and morality and give it to the machines and software, sure, there's going to be pros to that, but I believe there's going to be a lot of cons.
And that all goes back to the difference between the Oxford definition and the Merriam-Webster definition. One of them says you have the right to make decisions and enforce obedience, which is the old school way. I think you're talking about what is the new school, new media way of doing things. the influencer. They're like, we command thought, opinion, and behavior by suggesting, oh, you like watching this type of video. Let's feed you more of that content, right? You want to hear that? Great. We'll load you up with that so that it enforces your worldview because we understand you're going to click. We'll get more advertising dollars, and you're looking for confirmation of your bias. So we'll feed you it all you want.
Beyond that, though, because that to me is easy to poke holes in that. I agree with what you're saying, but that person's choosing to be on the platform. Just stop using the platform. Like, don't use Facebook.
Yeah, well, don't use your phone.
My point is, but that's an easy one. Oh, you can get off Facebook, and plenty of people do.
Okay. Yeah, but you can function. You can't get off of Google, which will send you whatever you search.
Well, you could. DuckDuckGo. Well, my point is...
You would have to make a conscious effort to not use Twitter, Facebook.
Beyond social media, more importantly, there are already algorithms that are board members of Fortune 500 companies. Yeah. Why? Because an LLC, an organization, is an entity. It's a person as per our constitution. So it can serve as a board member. So now you have truly artificial intelligence and algorithms, just as a recipe, a set of instructions or directions, who get to vote for what goes on at we're just at the tip of the iceberg with this shit.
I know. All right. I'm convinced there's nothing powerful. We don't even have to get there. There's nothing good about authority. We keep talking about there's positives to authority.
All right. So transitioning, I think an easy way to transition to where you can see it as positive is in a household with a family. How do you run a family with no authority?
Yeah, it'd be terrible. It would be terrible.
I'll tell you, I don't want my kids to be around that type of household because lack of structure is chaos. It's pure disorder.
It is. I think we're experiencing that in our country. And so, you know what? I always like, if you want a way to transition what Zach just mentioned and think about it in a broader term of nation states, Ray Dalio does an excellent job of explaining that China is run more like a parental authority. The government is like the parent authority, and they decide what is right for the individuals. And, you know, here in America, that sounds awful to us. We hate that. We hate the idea of the government making decisions for us around things as simple as what we can and cannot read on the internet. In China, they decide that, what data you can and can't get.
Beyond that, how many kids you can have?
How many kids you can? I mean,
that's a huge one people just forget about. Yeah. We relaxed it recently. For decades, the government told them you can only have kids. And then if they had girls, they were just throwing them out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because they needed boys.
Yeah.
Again, absolutely. We don't think about that shit. That is your peers, not in China, but if it was in the US, your elected peers saying, stop having sex. You've had your allotment.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know if they were doing like forced sterilization, but I think so they were, and maybe even
definitely
abortion.
On the folks they don't like over there.
Maybe even abortion. Yeah. Anyway, obviously, it sounds horrific to us in the U.S. because we value individual freedoms. It's something that has been historically built into us and our society. Over there, they like that. That's the way that they – not, you know, I'm not saying as a whole every individual in China likes the way the government operates.
Values.
But that is –
it's a different value.
It's what they have grown up with and what they are used to and what they accept over there. And it's just different from the way – and so I think those are two really good competing leadership models. The U.S. is a lot more inefficient because of it. So if we're talking about benefits of authority – the Chinese government can make a unilateral decision and force it down through enforcement in a much more efficient manner than it would happen.
COVID response.
Yeah, and then it would happen in the United States. And that can apply to everything.
Well, this study, obedience to authority, they would have been horrified by it only because not everyone killed the fake person because they did. Some folks did bend to authority, but very few.
Right. A lot of people were like, no, I'm not going to shock that person till he dies. In China, it would be like, you will shock that person till he dies or else we will put you in the shock chair. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I guess I'm going to have to do it.
Well, yeah, I see what your point is, but they would have done the same experiment. I think the results would have been different solely based on the set of their collective culture. So respecting authority, especially a scientific figure, you don't question that at all.
I think the reaction to the study would have been different. Here, we're like, oh my God, someone would listen to authority to the point that another person dies? That's awful.
Well, that's the whole point.
And in China,
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, in China, it's, Well, yeah, you have to listen to authority, even if someone dies.
Well, the point of that person, what they thought in the experiment, dying is it's clearly good for us, the state. It's yes. good for the whole.
Yes, it's the safety of the group. It's the whole. So it's interesting. So when we started and I did that intro, it's because I believe that at least over the past couple of years and the way that things are going, a lot more of that top-down authority that let's give up our individual autonomy and freedom for the safety of the group. It seems to be seeping in over here. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, now we could get into political philosophy, yeah. but yeah. eventually we become Europe. That's just how it goes. Individualism and collectivism, which is at the general level, what we're talking about, they're antithetical to each other. But when you have to cater to group interests because group interests help keep you elected in a democratic nation, individualism slips away eventually. And we're seeing that live today. Yeah.
Is that what you mean by we become Europe?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, just think about it. Authorities, what do? They define things. They make rules. What is Congress elected to do? Make rules. Just from a very simplistic linear math perspective, all we're doing is just continuing to make more rules and more rules and more rules. We don't just get rid of tons of old rules. It's just more rules on top.
I know. I thought about that.
So we can't do anything but become Europe. We will be that super regulated eventually, just like Europe, because there's no other way around it.
Yeah. We're already getting to that point.
But I would say, though, going back to what you were saying, authority on the positive side. Can you develop a skill if you're a normal person and not some savant that just goes and creates algebra on your own? Okay, you're a normal human. Can you learn a skill and get development in that area without embracing authority?
School is another perfect example. You said the family, mm-hmm. right? And I think the family is a good one. So now school as well. You know, when my children go to school, I want them, for the most part, to listen to authority. Now, of course, if they come home and they have an instance where an authority figure was telling them something that was just wanting them to do something for no reason other than the fact that they're an authority and it didn't make any sense, obviously I'm going to go fight that authority on behalf of my kids. But for the most part, I understand the purpose of authority in a school is to facilitate learning in an orderly manner, and I will back that.
But we're also, let's position, we got to mention our positionality, we're in a real good school district.
We are in a very good school.
So we can
district.
Say that and be like, yeah, we like the authority at our school because the authorities know shit and they care and they seem to be decent
They're
people.
Competent. Yeah.
That ain't the case everywhere, you know? And so I wouldn't agree with your statement as a blanket statement in terms of school. I think the way we have school structured is horrible. And I know you agree with that. We need to flip it. It needs to change, but that's a systemic change. That ain't going to occur easily because there's a lot of entrenched interests in the current system. But where we're at, yeah, I like the authority figures we have over there at Edgar Road. They're solid.
I'm just talking about the positive effects of authority. And
absolutely. But even screw school, self-learning. Can you learn a new skill without authority?
Well, is a mentor an authority?
Yes. What about getting on the internet? You're still relying on authorities, whether you're buying classes from someone on Reddit or Twitter, or you're listening to this technical analyst and their podcast on Bitcoin. It doesn't matter. You're saying, I find them credible.
You know what? I think what we're talking about here, and I like, is a narrowing of authority to the relevant areas. So, for example, people right now, since the pandemic, have not had to drive a car into an office and sit in a beige cubicle and wear khakis in an office chair. They've been able to wear whatever they want with no commute. The only piece that the authority is controlling of their life over these past couple of years is, are you getting the work done? Yes or no? So we have a narrowing of authority in that situation to the relevant topic matter, the relevant area. And people are realizing, hey, nobody needs to be able to tell me where I sit my butt for eight hours a day. Nobody needs to be able to tell me what I wear into a conference room I don't have to sit in a cubicle. I can do everything that's necessary for the success of this organization without having middle management have control over my life in these areas.
But they do. I was just talking about this yesterday with Shannon and Bart. Now, again, not blanket, but in this particular instance, she works for a very large health organization here in town. it has now become easier for them to monitor the work. Are you logged in on Teams? If you're not logged in on Teams, it's an instant indication you're not doing your work because that's been directly communicated to everyone. You have to be logged in on Teams. Dude, that's pure surveillance. And then Bart took it and she was almost just like, well, you know, and then he took it differently. Well, they have to do that because people won't work. Right?
Okay. So, well, that's a different argument. I don't think you're attacking what I'm saying. You're saying now using different metrics to measure compliance with certain things. They were measuring compliance with, hey, what are you doing in the office in shorts? What are you doing? Like, you can't wear that to the office. You've got open-toed shoes on.
Gotcha.
That's something against corporate.
That doesn't affect true performance.
Exactly. I talk about a narrowing of authority. So in the reason that I came to that was because I think that's a relevant example of something that's going on today where that authority has narrowed to relevant areas. Where when you were talking about learning, our kids go to school. When we went to school, what did we have to? We had to wear a uniform. We had to wear navy pants and a white shirt or a light blue shirt. We had to eat whatever food was available whatever. We had to do all these things. When you're talking about self-learning, right? If you can just learn at home with the internet, well, guess what? There's a lot less authority being forced on you in irrelevant areas of your life, like what you're wearing. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I think a more nuanced way to say it is authority is both narrowing and expanding.
Well,
that's the more nuanced way because
I'm saying technology is enabling the narrowing of authority. Now, whether or not authority figures are embracing and allowing for that, I think that's what you're talking about.
I'm just saying the fact that this organization has made the assumption that if you're logged in to our platform, you're working.
I know.
Is fucking hilarious.
I know. If that's their metric, then they're doomed. They're doomed as an organization.
But then it was interesting to see Bart's different take and say, well, yeah, they have to do that.
People are inherently lazy.
So
it's all built on beliefs.
Theory Y people.
Yeah, it's all built on beliefs.
But that was interesting to me. Parenting. I want to talk to the parent. I want to hear the person that says, yeah, in our house, our goal is to just have no authority. I want to learn about that house. I want to hear how that house works. And the only thing I can think of is like something maybe out of a TV show, like the hippie house where anything goes and you're just loved as a snowflake and star child at all times. I don't know. And so I think I will have succeeded as a parent in terms of an authority figure. And I'm not saying I have, but this is like my ideal, I guess I strive for, is if I use my authority in a way so that as my kids get older and more independent and become problem solvers on their own, they see me as less and less of an authority. So it's a slow winding down of my authority and then an opening up of their own authority. If I can do that, I've succeeded.
I was going there.
That's the goal. I'm not saying I've done that.
Yeah, I was going there. And I think it's because as like what our value system is, I think this has something to do with being in Western culture.
Well, of course it does.
We believe that parenting is to create competent adults. We are raising someone who should be a competent, self-governing adult capable of making their own decisions and having their own sovereignty someday. I don't necessarily know that in Far Eastern cultures that is the goal.
Well, I can't speak to it. Clearly,
I don't know.
From a base level, it doesn't seem like that's
right.
The goal. But they also have a much better capitalist economy than we do right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're absolutely able to get shit done a lot quicker. And I would even say there are different types of households. You know, I'm sure you would have recognized it as a child growing up. You had some peers whose parents were very strict, very authoritarian, ran their house in a certain manner.
Very loose.
Exactly.
What house did you want to go to as the kid?
Yeah, not the ones that were the authoritarians.
Exactly. So that says something, in my opinion, about our species' natural response to heavy-handed authority. When you're young and before you've been perverted with, you know, what you should think of authority and blah, 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 the natural tendency for most folks seems to be gravitate where there's less arbitrary do as I say, not as I do.
Well, there was something about your and my personality that as growing up, as we were told to do something, we would always say, why? Why? And we accept when there is a decent explanation for it, for the most part. Wherever it's because I said so, that's where it just makes us want to rebel even harder.
Okay, here's a good one for me. we've talked about this bureaucracy. It murders my soul. And probably five people in the last 2 to 3 months. So, you know, a couple month period, but five different people have said, man, like, your business is going well. You know, when you going to build out, when you going to scale up? And I don't want to get into the conversation with them. So I give them whatever little humorous sentiment I need to not have this actual conversation, because I don't want bureaucracy, because bureaucracy for me is an authority figure's best tool. I don't even like being viewed as an authority figure already, but it sucks my time. Bureaucracy is a time thief. I will not go do something if I know it involves more paperwork or me waiting in line. I will pay more money to not waste my time doing that. A lot more money. So that is why I make certain decisions, because I know myself. Like, I hate it so much. Why do I need to subject myself to that? And to grow my organization, I advise people to do that. I don't want any part of that. I have the best work-life balance in the world right now. Why would I change that? And I'm sure certain people look at me like, man, he's not being as successful as he could be. And it's just like, no, you don't know. You have no philosophy of time.
Quite the opposite. Yeah. It just goes back to the metrics. What are you measuring? Are you measuring people logged into Teams?
Right.
Because you're doing it wrong. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you're measuring your time, which is the one thing that everybody has a finite amount of. It doesn't matter if you are in poverty or you're a billionaire. At bedtime, I play to my kids, Dust in the Wind. And one of the lines I love the most in that is, and all your money won't another minute buy.
Yeah.
And it's so true. Line. And so bureaucracy, like you said, is a thief of that. There is so much. And I think that's one of the reasons why we value individual autonomy and freedom. It's funny because what I do deals a lot with risk management and compliance. So what I do has a lot to do with making sure that you're complying with authority and these regulations that you have to meet. And I can just see the ridiculousness that most of them don't have any benefit whatsoever. All they do is make you increase cost. They make people have functions that are meaningless jobs. There's this book. There's a book that I just came privy to. I don't remember the author, but you can just Google it. It's called Bullshit Jobs. And he gives a – if you want to just see the Cliff's Notes, he's on YouTube, and he does a good synopsis of his theory. But it all talks about how regulations and laws and bureaucracy has just created these jobs that do not produce anything. We would be better off if none of it existed. We would be more productive. But that's what happens when you end up with overreaching bureaucracy. And I think that's what you were basically trying to voice, that you want to avoid, right?
I try to do anything in my personal life to avoid signing papers. Anything where I can avoid any kind of paperwork, I'm taking that other path. I'll pay way more money for it. Like, it doesn't – because to me – it's not just the time it takes to go through that. And I always think about, like, what fucking human actually created this form that is in front of my face right now? And think about, like, wow, that's what they wanted
that's
to do.
That's
their
life.
I'm going through this health permit right now to open our sports bar out in Lake St. Louis. And I'm asking questions with the health inspector, who's been cool and really nice, and we have a good relationship, and he's helpful. He doesn't even understand the fucking form, Dave. He doesn't even – that's my point with bureaucracy. No one understands anything. There's no responsibility to any single person. It's all just like this big cosmic joke. Like, if there's a true God, I want to get up there and he's just like, wow, you fucking people really dealt with that bureaucracy thing. That was just more of a joke.
Yeah. No shit.
It's nuts to me.
I mean, and it rears its ugly head in, like, all facets of your life. We just redid our basement, and they were like, oh, you can't put your closet door there. Like, what? Yeah, it's against the code because I don't even know why. But anyway, you can't put your closet door there.
But that's it.
It's like, what?
At the workplace. Well, that's just the policy. I didn't invent the policy. Don't shoot me. I didn't make the rule, right? That because the authority for big things is not in the person. It's in the role or the rule. And that's what people don't understand. And that's why politics, I think, is just such a nasty game, man, because you get these elected officials who everyone defers to, but then what do they get to do? They get to appoint advisors who are not beholden to anyone. And clearly the elected person cannot have deep subject matter expertise over running a country. You have to rely on people who say hopefully they know things about things. But again, it's the best system we've come up with thus far, but it's, I don't know.
So obviously we are leaders in different ways, leaders of our family, leaders of our businesses. I, as a leader, have a philosophy that is more in line with the Merriam-Webster definition of authority. I like to influence thought, opinion, and behavior by getting people to understand that what we're doing is the best thing to do. And I'm even open to feedback and being enlightened and realizing that, no, this wasn't the best way to do things and we should change, right? Mm-hmm. So I like that idea of leadership by example, mm-hmm. right? I don't want to ask someone to do something that I wouldn't do myself and all of those. And I think about the way I lead my family. And this is a great example where this is where some rubber meets road here. You know, we've been having hard times with Dylan listening to us. He gets entrenched in whatever it is he wants, and then he throws a fit and just will do anything he can not to bow to authority. And punishment, breaking him, was the way that I had been approaching it, just holding him in timeout until he basically gives up. And it would take, it would take upwards of 30 minutes sometimes of him just throwing tantrums and kicking and fighting and screaming and finally, he would give up and he would be broken, but
physically exhausted.
He would be physically exhausted and he would end up complying, but it was not in a positive way. I could just see
compliance is never positive. Compliance is not commitment.
Right. Exactly. So it's become such a problem that lately I've been trying a different method, and I don't know if this is the right way. I'm just trying to figure this out. Where literally I've taken him into a small room like the bathroom and I'll just shut the door and sit in front of the door and be like, all right, Dylan, talk to me. And the other night he was still in his rage. So he's like throwing the laundry basket and I want this, you know? And I'm just like, okay, well, tell me about what you're feeling. Tell me about why you want that. You know what I mean? Like making him slow down and think through what it is that he's fighting for. Cause think about it. He's fighting for something. Mm-hmm. So if this is just a child in a household or it's a revolution in a country, it's like, what is that going on there? And there's a rebellion against authority. There's a fighting for something. There's a fighting for control, for sovereignty, for something like that. And so I just basically am like, voice to me, Dylan, tell me, what is it, you know? And oftentimes he just is like, well, I just want this. I want this. And then I say, okay, what would you do if you were me? Because if you have that, then that hurts your sister or it takes away from someone else or, you know, the rest of the family needs to sleep now. There's not time for that. What would you do if you were me, right? If you were the dad and you knew that that was the situation, what would you do? It's the best thing I've figured out so far. And he's only four, so he doesn't grasp it totally most of the time. But it does slow him down and he does at least think about it. It's funny because the answers that I've been getting from him recently, he's like, well, I would spank me and put me in timeout. And I'm like, that's exactly what I'm trying not to do, Dylan. Like, I don't want to spank you and put you in timeout. You know, I love you. I want you to understand that we're a team as a family and we have to help each other out. And eventually he's getting to that, to the conclusion, we end up hugging and whatnot, but it's been tough. And let me just say this. It's probably the hardest way to lead. It is much easier just to go to punishment mode, spank his butt, hold him in the corner. That is so much easier.
Faster,
right?
More efficient.
Right. And so I think it's just like, well, what kind of authority do I want to be? You know what I mean? What kind of authority would I value myself?
And how much time do you have to be that authority figure?
And that's the thing. I also ask myself, what's more important? Let's say it's impeding into my work and I'm going to miss a work call. Well, what's more important? What am I going to remember 20 years from now?
I know, right? But what decision do you make?
Lately, well, for the past week, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, good, you're being honest, but
you got an important call. You're about to close a $500,000 deal and Dylan throws a fit. You're not fucking missing.
No,
that
I'm
call.
Not missing that
don't
one.
Don't act like you're
I'm not missing that
call.
One.
Come on.
I'm not missing that one.
Dylan spank time. No, but it is important. Authority in a family, in a relationship, it's just there. Now, hopefully in a relationship, it's more equal and more split, but not all relationships are that way. Some relationship, one person has the authority. Sometimes the man, sometimes the woman. But that if that works for them, then hey, I don't – good, good. Do your thing. That's what I like about America. Like, do it your way.
That – you know what? It's the best part about us, and sometimes it's the worst. But I wouldn't want it any other way.
Nice. Well, you got any other thoughts on authority before we close out?
No, I think we really the good thing about this is authority is such a broad topic. I mean, you talk about it, nation states,
people,
and large
laws,
organizations and blah.
Religious code.
I think the most important thing is think about it in your life. Think about the areas where you have authority, where you have control over others. It could just be your pet. Who knows? But what are your values? Are you governing to your values? Are you exercising your authority in a way that is true to you in the way that you would want to be led and governed? I don't know, man. That's a pretty important question. If we all did that, the world would just be a better place.
Well, I have two simple questions for folks to reflect on for my change challenge. First, where are you lending yourself to the march of authority? Where are you becoming an instrument to help someone else achieve their goals and you don't like it and you know it, but you put up with it for XYZ, whatever it is. We got to pay the rent, got to make the mortgage, got to do X, got to do Y. Just spend some time thinking about that and what that means and if that is the best decision. Second one, on the other kind of more positive side, think about how you are an authority figure, because we all are, and it's something in our life. You're an authority figure. But are you the type of authority that's trying to help others gain more freedom, which is really what Dave's referring to with Dylan, with his newer tactic, or how I said my ideal for my parenting to give my kids problem-solving abilities? Or are you the type of authority that believes it's easier to lead by limiting others' freedom? And just think about that. Any from you?
That last one was going to be the one that I did. So, I think that those are two really great sides of the same coin, because they both hit on things that I value, and that is individual sovereignty and autonomy. And there's something that I realize that everyone must bend to authority in areas where they don't want to for various reasons. But, you know, go watch V for Vendetta. How about that for a change challenge? Go watch V for Vendetta and think about when you're doing Zach's change challenge about where you're bending to authority in an
where
area.
You're bending the knee.
In an area that you don't like it. Think about that. Think about the respect that you have for those that don't. Why do you respect those that don't? Why do you wish you could be more like them? And then decide yourself what you're going to do about it.
Excellent. Well, two good change challenges. We've talked quite a bit. If I had to put an arbitrary percentage to it, it seems like we were 80-20. Dave and I feel that authority is more generally negative than positive. But we tried to end on the positive,
right?
Because we do understand it's there in the type of societal structures we currently have. You can't get around authority. And maybe someday we will be able to, and that would be lovely, but that's not the life we live. So either way, we do believe here at Life Lab that it's an experiment, so make sure you go.
Experiment with life.